Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bav Metzia, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, right about the middle of the Amud, by Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asked the following question about our Mishnah. Takfa echad befaneinu mahu. What happens if one of the two fellows that we have, who come with the, holding the garment together, grabs it from the other fellow? So, Hechidami, what's the question? Idashatik, if the other fellow is silent, so obviously he's conceding that it's not his. Vida katsavach, and if on the other hand he's protesting the whole time, so mavele miavad, what do we expect him to do? He's not as strong or he's not as quick, the other guy grabbed it, that doesn't make him any less of an owner. So, lotzricha deshatik meikar vahadar tzavach, the circumstances where immediately he's silent, and then after a little bit, he starts protesting. My, how do we judge it? Mi de yishtik odui odule. Do we say from the fact that he was originally silent, he conceded the point? Odil mekeven de kosava hashta. Since he now is protesting, igloy milta de hayishatik mikara savar hakatz chazule rabbanon. That we now can understand that the reason he was silent at the beginning was because he said in front of the Beit Din, the Rabbanon see this, they're obviously going to step in and stop it, and when they don't step in, he protests. Question is, how do we interpret his silence? Okay, I'm Rav Nachman Toshmas. Rav Nachman tries to prove it from the following. When does our Mishnah apply? Our Mishnah applies, this is the Tosefta, in the beginning of the Masechet, that only when the two of them are holding onto the garment together. Let's say one guy was holding the garment, the other guy has to prove that it's his, otherwise the fellow is holding it, it has the claim. So, hechidami, what's the circumstance? If it's exactly like it's presented there, it's a no-brainer that if one guy walks in holding a garment and another guy walks in and says that's mine or that's half mine or whatever, obviously he doesn't have a leg to stand on until he proves it. It must be a case where the two of them came in together and then one of them grabbed it from the other. So we say, which means that when one grabs it from the other, and it's got to be a circumstance where the fellow is silent at the beginning and then protests, because otherwise it's either what do you expect him to do, or it's clearly acquiescence. And so that proves that the fellow who grabbed it now gets to keep it. No, not necessarily. What's the case? They come before us just like in our Mishnah. The two of them are holding it. And we say to them, Zilu plugu, you go settle it on your own. Vinafku, they went outside of the Beit Din. Vahadur atu kitafis lachadminau. And they came back in and one of them was holding it. Hayamar odu yodile. He says, the other guy, when he walked out, admitted that it wasn't his, so I have it. Vahayamar, and the other fellow who's not holding it, says, Bedomi agarti nihale. He said, he rented it from me. Meaning that he paid me a couple of bucks to be able to borrow this for the day. And that's why he has it. So what do we say to the fellow who's not holding it? Ad hashta chashta leba gazlan. Until now, you're accusing him of being gazlan, saying it's all yours, and he's claiming it. V'hashta mograt leba losadi, and now you're renting it to him without aiding? We don't believe you. So therefore, we say, motzavechal avaraya. So that could be the circumstance that the Tosefta is speaking about, but not necessarily our circumstance where the guy grabs it in front of us. V'baitema, we could make another scenario. Kediktani. Perhaps it is exactly like it reads, where one guy's holding it and the other guy's not. One guy's holding it, and the other fellow's holding on to like a corner or a string. Even Sumchus, who says, when you have Mammon, we dealt with this in the first podcast, Mammon that we really don't know who belongs to, we split it without a Shvua. Sumchus would agree that one guy holding the body of the garment and another guy catching onto one little string at the edge is meaningless, and it belongs to the guy who's got the garment. Good. So the truth is, we did not settle Rabbi Zeira's question, and we don't know in Rabbi Zeira's case if A grabs it from B and now is holding it right in front of us, and B didn't say anything, and then he starts protesting. Do we accept the protest, or would he listen to the silence? That we don't know. But we're going to go off on the following tangent. Im tim selomer tkfach tkfach echad befanenu motzino tam miyado. If you would accept the arguendo, if you would accept the position that if the guy grabs it, then we take it away from him, then it's obvious that he kdisha in mukudeshet. If instead one of the two guys wouldn't grab it but would just say I'm makdish this talis, it would be nothing. Clearly, because if his possession is so weak that even if you were to grab it, we would put it back in the middle, then he doesn't have enough possession to be makdish it. However, but if you argue that if you accept the position in Rabbi Zeira's question, that if the one guy grabs it in front of us, that we don't take it away from him, so he does have some stronger potential possession, hikdisha b'lo takfa mahu. What if he's makdish it without grabbing it? The two of them are holding the talus together, and one guy says, I'm makdish the talus. These are the two sides of the argument. On the one hand, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Perak Aleph Mishnah Vav, says at the end of the Mishnah, meaning a declaration of Hekdesh is tantamount to an actual handover to a regular citizen. So therefore, when you say this is Hekdesh, it's played by the same level or the same rules as if it was handed over to a citizen. Remember, if this guy were to grab it, according to this side of the argument, you wouldn't take it away from him. So therefore, come on to talk for dummy. So do we say that his declaration of Hekdesh is tantamount to his grabbing it, in which case it would be valid? Or perhaps, on the other hand, you say the reality is he didn't grab anything. Right now he is sharing it with the other guy. So the fact that potential, were he to grab it, he wouldn't take it away from him, doesn't mean anything. In the context of Pidyon Hekdesh, that's at the end of Vayikra, it says, if a man has Makdish's house, and this is something we saw in Bokam also, Ma Beito Birshuto, why is the Bayit, your house, the model for Hekdesh? Because just like your house is something that you have control over, Afkol Birshuto, similarly, you can only Makdish things you have control over. Lafuke Haidelo Birshuto, as opposed to this, you don't have control over. So in other words, on the one hand, theoretically, were you to grab it, we wouldn't take it away from you. On the other hand, the reality is, you didn't grab it, so you're still sharing it, and your Hekdesh is no good. Let's see. Toshma, so we're going to prove it, interestingly, from a story that happened and the way it was dealt with. Tahumasuta, there was a bathhouse. Tahumansu Allah betrayed. There were two guys fighting over ownership of the bathhouse. Hayamardidihu, each said it was his. Komchad minayu Akdasha. So one of the two guys, got up and said, I'm makdish my bathhouse. By the way, if his bathhouse is really hektish, you can't use it. Parshimina Rav Hananya, Rav Shaya, Vukula Rabbah, and all the rabbis stopped using the bathhouse. They were concerned that it was valid hektish. V'yamar Rav Shaya l'Rabba, so Rav Shaya turned to Rabbah and said, Ki azlat kameh, this is not Rav Shaya of Rebbe's students, this is much later in Bavel, Ki azlat kameh de Rav Chista l'Kafre, when you go to Kafre, Rav Chista's town, boy mine, go ask him really what we should do. In the meantime, we'll stay away. Kiata la Surah. So on his way, Rabbah went to Surah, and he met Rav Hamnuna. Amrali Rav Hamnuna, he said, he heard about the story, and this was his reaction. Matnitin hi, it's a Mishnah that you have in Taharot. Safek Bechorot, Echad Bechor Adam, Echad Bechor Behema. If you have a person or an animal, Bein Torim Bein Tmeim, whether the animal is, of course, a Chamor is the only Bechor Tamei, or a lamb or whatever, where you're not sure if it's a firstborn. There was some sort of a possible miscarriage beforehand, or it got mixed up with another animal. In any case, we don't know if this is really Bechor. Hamotz b'chaver olav araya. The simple reading of that means the Kohen has to prove that he really is a Bechor before he can claim it. Otherwise, it's yours. And, of course, the Kohen can never prove that, which means he can never really take it. But we'll see another possible read of that. V'tani Allah, and what is the teaching that is appended to that, asurim begizal v'avodah. Nonetheless, these animals that the Kohen cannot claim are still asur begizal. You're not allowed to shear them or to work with them just like any other bechor. Now, let's analyze what that means. This is Rav Hamnuna's analysis. V'ahacha, in this case, the amar tokfa Kohen in motzino tomiado. He reads that if the Kohen were to seize it, you couldn't take it back from him, meaning theoretically, if the Kohen were to seize it, it would remain in his possession. Why? Because, after all, we said, and he's reading it both ways. The Kohen can't seize it from the Israel because they've got to prove it's a Bechor. But if the Kohen were to seize it, the Israel can't seize it back because he'd have to prove it's not a Bechor. And therefore, it would stay with the Kohen. So therefore, if the Kohen, were he to seize it, would get to keep it. Here's the analogy to the bathhouse. But even when he doesn't seize it, we still treat it as Kedushat Bechor. So therefore, it should be the same thing. Since if one of these guys was to seize the bathhouse, we wouldn't take it away from him because the other guy would have to prove it's his. Even when he didn't seize it, once he was Makdish it, we have to deal with it as a Hekdish. So Amalei Rabba. Rabba turned to Rav Hamnuna and said, Kedusha Bachor Kamar, you're proving to me about the case of the bathhouse. From the case of Kedusha Bachor, Kedusha Bachor is a whole different ball of wax. Kedusha Bachor is not something that's dependent on your declaration and what did you mean and which animal were you pointing to. Kedusha Bachor is something that happens from birth. And the only suffix we have is this really Bachor? The Olam Emelecha Tokfa Koin Motzino Tomiado. He said, I could interpret the Motz Mechal of Araya the way that I originally said it, which is the coin cannot seize it, and if we the coin were to seize it, we would take it back from him, because the Muchzak is the Israel, and the coin can't prove that it's a Bechor, he can't get it. And nonetheless, we would still say you can't shear these animals. In other words, the Isur that goes along with treating it like a Bechor is not dependent on the Kohen's potential of seizure, but it's dependent on something else. The Kedusha Bamele Ashani. This is a Hekdesh that is inherent in the animal. It's not dependent on a declaration. As opposed to, is this guy enough of an owner of the bathhouse to make a declaration? And the answer could simply be, he's not. And you guys can use the bathhouse, because this guy's not an owner. So I'm Rav Chananya L'Rabba. So Rav Chananya turned to Rabba and said, Tandid Mesayelach, I've got a braita that supports your position that Bechor is different. How's that? Hasfekot nichnasim ladir lihitaser. Braita says that Sfekot, and we think right now that Sfekot means Safek Bechor. They come into the corral and they get counted among the Maaser Behema. If you really were to think, as Rav Hamnuna suggested, that if a coin were to seize a Safek Bechor, he'd get to keep it, which means this is sort of Mamon Kohen. Why are we able to put the Suffolk Bechor, well, we have it, the Israel, why are we able to put it into the corral? That means that I am exempting my animals using his, because I'm putting one of his animals in. His may indeed be the tenth, and maybe the Maser Behema, and my other nine animals are now Me'usar, and I can use them using the Kohen's property. So Amarle Abaye turned to Rav Chananya and said, Imishum halo to say lamar. That's not going to support the master. That will not support Rabba. Why? Hachamaskim gondolait le'elatisha vahu. You know what that case is with the sfeikot going into the deer? That's talking about a case where there's nine regular animals and this one safek. Demonafshach, because either way it's okay. E barchiuvahu, if this animal's not a bechor and it really has to go in, so shaper kamaser, he's doing maser fine. Ilav barchiuvahu, if he's not really a barchiuvah because he's a bechor, tishalav barasurininu, then nine don't need to be mas musar anyways. It's only when you have 10 animals you have to do that. So Abaye said to as follows. Rav Hamnuna had his take on the bathhouse in which he compared it to the Bechor case. Rabba disanalogized and said, it's not a good proof. And Rav Chananya turned to Rabba and said, I could support your position that this money really does not belong to the Kohen. And therefore, the prohibition of Giza and Avoda in this Safek Bechor does not emanate from the Kohen's potential ownership, but from the fact that it's a possible Bechor. And Rav Chananya said, I could prove that to you from the fact that Sfeikot, which we think are Safek Bechor, get to be used for Maser Behema, so therefore it clearly is the moment of the Yisrael, not the moment of the Kohen. Abaye challenged that, said, no, that's not a good proof, because that could be talking about a case where there's only nine regular animals, and this tenth Safek Bechor, either way belongs in there. Either it's a Bechor, in which case it's not a Bar Chiyuva, and we only have nine, and there's no issue. Or it's not a Bechor, in which case you have 10, and we're doing fine Ma'asrot. Abaye then turned on himself and said, Hanam Abaye, la milta hidami. What I said was wrong. The Sfeik ala bar asurahi. We do not Ma'aser Sfeikot. Did not, how do we know? And this is a Mishnah Bechorot. Kafatz achad min hamnuyin letochan. Let's say you start counting animals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is Rashi's example. And as they're walking out, and then one of the five jumps back into the group. Kulam turin, I'm done. Visaka, and it means I don't have to count and give a tenth. I don't give anything. Visaka daita sveka by suri, and if you think that you have to be maaser svekot, le'aser imanav shach, why don't I just count, now that it's jumped back in, I keep counting, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and give the tenth. Di bar chiyuva, who, if the tenth one that I give is really one that was originally there and never got out, it's a fine shop for maser. Vilav bar chiyuva, who, and if it's really the one that was out already and jumped back in, nipater b'minyan haraui. It becomes exempted because I did a proper counting. Da amarava minyan haraui poter. If you do a proper counting, that's poter. Alamayit lachlemer. So the fact that I don't say that, and the fact that I say if I have one jump back in, I'm done, proves to you, Asiri Vadayim Rahmana. The Torah says only when you have a certain tenth do we count? V'lo asiri safek, not when it's a doubtful tenth. Hachanami asiri v'adayim, rachman v'lo asiri safek. Same thing here. In other words, sfekot that are mentioned in that braita cannot be safek b'chor, and it wouldn't be a situation where there's a nine others and this one, and so either way it's okay. He said, really, it should be patur, which means you're reading that braita wrong, which means that braita coming to support that braita coming to support Rabbi really doesn't help. We're going to have to see. So then he turns and my sfeikot. So what is sfeikot in that braita? How can you say sfeikot are brought into the deer, into the corral, to be counted towards the ten? You can't say it's sfeik b'chorot. After all, yihyeh kodesh rachmana. A b'chor is kodesh in and of itself. V'loshe kvar kadosh. This is the pasuk is talking about the maser behema. The maser behema becomes kadosh, not one that's already kadosh. A b'chor just isn't in the parsha of maser behema. It's already kadosh. So they can't be safek b'chor, which means we were reading it wrong before. Ela sfeik pidyon petach hamor. Just a quick introduction. When a lamb or an ox gives a cow gives birth to its firstborn, that's b'chor, and if it's tamim, it's brought as a korban, etc. But there's one behemah tameya that the Torah said in Shmot Yud Gimel you have to dedicate, and that is the chamor. But what do? You switch it with a seh. You have to bring a seh in its place, then the chamor is free. If you don't do it, you have to break the neck of the chamor, arifa, etc. Now, let's say the guy has a sofek pidyon petach chamor, which means he had a sofek b'chor chamor. And so he was poded on a seh. Uchrav Nachman, Debrav Nachman Amar Bar Avua, Yisrael Shiyishlo Asara Sfek Pitre Chamor, Petach Beito. Let's say he had a bunch of donkeys, and each one had a sofek b'chor, so he's poded them. He's got 10 lambs in the house that are all pidyon or pidyon petach chamor. Sorry, he had 10 sofek b'chorot of donkeys. Mafrishal in asar asin. So he then has to designate, corresponding to them, 10 lambs to be the pidyon for the petach chamor. Asran. And then you're ma'aser them, v'hein shalo, and he gets to keep them. Now, so you see that that's what the sfeikot are. You have to put them through the ma'aser, but you keep them because it's mosav chavaraya, let the coin prove that he really deserves this thing, because after all, the b'chorot of all these donkeys was a safek, which we're all emanated from. Now, ma'habi alad masuta. Okay, fine. So now, what's the bottom line with the bathhouse? There was a story that happened with Rav Chista in Rav Chista's yeshiva. Rav Chista had a mice that happened in Rav Huna's yeshiva. And they didn't know what to do. They had a similar case, and they used Rav Nachman's ruling to settle it. What did Rav Nachman say? Any mamon that you cannot get out using the system, and with dayanim, hikdisho eno kadosh. If you're makdishit, it's not hekdish. You don't have enough ownership to be makdishit. If you could not extract it using the system of law, then it's not yours enough to be makdish. So that means obviously a property that you could, using dayanim, extract. Hekdisho kadosh. Even if you don't have it right now, if you're makdishit, it's kadosh. Afagav de lo afke. What, even if you didn't take it yet? So remember what we said in Bava Kama from Yochanan, Gazavul and Yeshua Balim Shneim and Echol Makdisho. If somebody's Gozel and the owner doesn't despair of it yet, neither one of them can be Makdish. Why? Zel if he's Shedo Shelo, the Gazlan doesn't own it yet. Zel if he's Shedo Meshuto. And the owner doesn't have control over it. So how could you say something theoretically I could get out by Dayanim Akim Makdish? The answer is Misavrat Masuta Metaltalin Askinan. We're not talking about a bathhouse, the Metaltalin of the bathhouse. Asuta Makarkiaskin, we're talking about a bathhouse that's really a built building. It's karka. And karka, anything that you could seize by dayonim, it's already yours. It's already in your property, because after all, it's sitting there. It's not hidden anywhere. And you go to the dayonim, the minute that you get the system to go, you just take possession of it. So therefore, if he had the ability, if this partner had the ability, this litigant, to get the bathhouse back via dayanim, then his hekdesh should be valid. But since he couldn't, the hekdesh is invalid. You guys can use the bathhouse. Okay, Tani Rav Tachlifa. Bar Marava, Kamed Rabbi Avahu. So we have this man in Eretz Yisrael teaching in the presence of Rabbi Avahu, that's in Caesarea. Shnaim adukim betalit. This picks up on something we saw earlier. Zenotel on makom shiadom agad. If two people are holding onto this garment, each guy grabs as far as his hand can grab. Zenotel makom shiadom agad. Vashar cholkim shavet. We split the rest. Whatever's left over, their hands. So one guy has huge hands, one guy has small hands. Then the guy with a huge hand is going to get more. Whatever's left, whatever's unheld by hands, is split evenly. Machri the Rabbi Avon. Rabbi Avon, when he heard this, added in uvishvua. He actually kind of make a sign that indicated that it should be a shvua. And he pointed towards heaven. Rashi says, obviously, you have to take a shvua to about the remaining parts. But if that's the case, then how do we ever have a situation like our Mishnah where you split evenly? Our Mishnah said you just split the entire talus. We don't say that you start by giving each guy what his hand's holding and then divide the rest. You say the entire thing is divided. How could you have a circumstance like that if this is really the halacha? That they're grabbing on to the very edges of the garment, like strings at the edge of the garment. So you can infer from that the fact that he said the only way that we could call it not holding onto the garment itself, so that we would employ Rabbi Avahu's ruling, is when you're grabbing onto the strings at the very edge, implying that if you were to hold on to even just 3x3, the smallest measure of the 3x3 finger, smallest measure of a beged, if you were to hold on to that amount of a sudar, it's already considered valid for a kinyan of chalipin. The pasuk and root, of course, the famous pasuk about chalipin with the shoe. To command a pasuk dami vikani, it's as if it's a separated piece and it's kinyan. Oh, wait a second. Why should that be different than Rav Chista's ruling about the get? Rav Chista, get biyado, mashicha biyado. If she has a get in her hand and it's got a string and the husband's holding the string, if the husband, from where he's standing, a few feet away, could pull with the string and bring the get to him, in a magoresh, she's holding the entire get. But it's tied to a string, and he's got the string in his hand. And if it's tied in such a way that were he to want to pull it back to himself, he could. The get's no good. If he's not megureshet, but if the string is really not attached that well, the minute you pull it, it would fall off. Then she's megureshet, which means you see that even holding on to the whole thing is not good. The answer is that the framework is different. Hatam kretot bainan. When it comes to gittin, you need a total excision from the guy. That's something we dealt with in gittin, in the third parak or the ninth parak. You need absolute kretot, v'leika, in the second parak and the ninth parak. Hachad atina bainan. When it comes to a kin, you need handing over. Handing over, even three tvachim, three atzpaot worth is enough. Vayika. Last piece. Amar Rava, imaita talitom muzhevet. Let's say that talit muzhevet. Let's say this garment had gold on it. Let's say a gold bar somewhere. A gold stripe. Chokin. We still split it evenly. Pshita, that's easy. So lo tzricha dekai dahava bemitzi. If the gold is right in the middle. So obviously you split it. It's closer to one guy, meaning we're still working with Rabbi Avahu's system. One guy's holding onto his part, one guy's holding the his part, neither one is holding onto the gold. But one guy's hand is closer to the gold. I could think that the guy who's closer to the gold could say, yeah, let's split it over here. Why divide it that way? Divide it this way. You know, there's always another way to divide it so that the gold comes out even. The point is, you say that whatever I'm holding is mine, whatever you're holding is yours, whatever's left, we divide equally, and the fact that I may be closer to a more valuable part of the garment is not relevant. We still divide it equally, and as Rav Avahu said, Bishvua. All right, everybody should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up Mirza Shevan Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, continuing with Shnayim Adukim Bishtar, in the next podcast.